desire is that the word would elevate us, draw us closer to you. The prophet told us that if revelation was beyond us, there to look up and ask you to reveal it to us. So that's what we ask tonight. We trust, oh God, that you would just bless each ear that would hear the word. And God, may be glorified in the midst of our gathering. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians 4. We'll read just a few verses there, and then I want to just try to get right back into our lesson. I know last time we were together, I felt that the Holy Spirit was kind of warning us of some things, and I said I wanted to kind of pick up where we left off. Trust that God would just get the glory out of it all. Here in Ephesians 1, the Bible says, I therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness, meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift. Therefore he hath, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far from all heavens, that he might fill all things. Let's just stop at that particular verse there, just in our reading. I'll go back to slide 3 and just kind of catch some key statements, and we'll try to finish off this first section that I have, and then we'll get into just these next verses. But we'll be going back to verse 3 tonight. But let's just catch these key statements. He says, I'd rather be just a little overzealous about the Father's kingdom than to have no zeal at all for it. I'd rather overwork. Amen. I'd rather overwork. This next statement says, and that's the way here. You have an intellectual perception, you have a theological experience, but when it comes to a time that when you really find the real thing, you just sell out everything else and you close yourself in to this. And that's when you really find this pearl of great price, and it's this word, let's just put it that way. You really get a true understanding of this word that God has given to you. You sell out everything for this word. You sell out everything for the word. And I mean, you sell out the things of the world. I mean, if a job came between you and the word, you sell out the job, right? You sell out everything for the word, right? And that's just, I'm talking about when you really get a revelation of what God has brought to you. I'll put it this way, the struggle is over. Amen. Right? The struggle is over. No more fighting with fingernail polish and toenail polish. And you ain't got to fight with none of that. No, it's done. Amen. You got a revelation of who you are.
Amen.
And Christ, and you follow that. This next statement says, if you want certain things your way, you know God's good enough to do that. He loves just to make you happy. He loves just to make you happy. Amen. Thank God for that. All right. Next statement says, maybe your housewife, if you are God, made you a teacher of your children. Do a good job out of it regardless of what you have to do. Do it well. Amen. Whatever God has called you to do, do it well. Amen. All right. This statement says, the whole armor of God is supernatural. This church is supernatural. It's not an organization. It's a supernatural body that men and women are born into by the Holy Spirit. Another term that Brother Branham uses, the mystical body of the Lord Jesus. And But we're a supernatural body. We've been brought together by the Spirit of God to make up the body of Christ, and our head is Christ. Amen. Our head is Christ. This last statement says, and so that's about the best thing I know to keep the leak out, the world out, is to stop up the leak is the best thing that I know to do. Only one way to do it, that's prayer. Prayer stops the leak. Prayer changes things. Amen. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, prayer is not a microwave solution. Amen. Microwave, we just pop things in real quick, press that button, and by the time we look up and go do this and turn around, it's done. Right? That thing is done. And you know, and unfortunately, when we, you know, years ago when people used to cook, they didn't have the microwaves like that. It was, you took your time, thought about what you were doing. And you took your time to get these things done, but now it's just, you know, it's everything instant. And with it being instant like that, instant breakfast, instant dinner, instant lunch, instant, everything instant. And with it being instant, it actually causes our patience to dwindle. Right, we don't have the same level of patience that we used to have. And even when it comes to waiting on the Lord, sometimes in prayer, you just have to pray and commit it to God.
Amen.
Right, and you just have to wait for the answer.
Amen.
Amen. And you always, a lot of times we think that, well, he didn't answer when I needed him to. No, he's always on time. He answers when he knows it's right.
Amen.
Right. So all you do is just pray and commit it to the Lord, and he'll give you that thing. Scriptures say no good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly. Upright up to him. So, you know, just commit to the Lord and pray. All right, let's, I want to get over here to, I think it's slide 6, which is focusing on verse 3 here in Ephesians 4, it just says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I was telling you all that word endeavoring is to bend over backwards, right? Bend over backwards in order to keep unity and harmony amongst the people of God. You know, do everything you can to avoid negative statements about your brother and sister. You know, do everything you can to try to keep unity. Avoid division. You know, things that's gonna bring confrontation. Just avoid it. Just avoid it. It's not even worth it. Sometimes you don't have to argue and fuss. You know, I've learned that, you know, just over the years. Somebody said you feel led to do a certain thing. Okay. All right. Okay. No problem. And it's better because sometimes people want an argument, but arguments just lead to more hurt, pain, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. So just, God's in control. He'll be the one to get all the glory. So that's all that matters. But endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. This quote that I had on this particular slide says, don't let the world get into your churches. Brother, pray it out. Fast it out until God comes down and takes a hold. And that's what we were saying last week. We have to watch the things of the world that slips in. You don't want that in the church. You don't want that in the church. The church should be called out, separated, different than the world. And so we don't want to just get too comfortable with things of the world in our midst. We don't want that. We should always feel a little bit uncomfortable like that.
Amen.
Always. Amen. If you lose that sense of conviction, something wrong somewhere, right? So every once in a while, the Holy Spirit got to come and just kind of deal with it sometimes. Like, no, don't get comfortable with that. Because you're not taking that to heaven with you, right? So he says, don't let the world get into your churches, brethren. Pray it out, fast it out until God comes down and takes a hold. That's right. Keep the joy of the Lord among the saints. Keep the joy of the Lord among the saints. Keep them prayed up and guard every little place. With Noah seeing a leak in his ark, why he put some pitch in it, and so that's about the best thing I know keep the leak out, the world out, is to stop up the leak is the best thing that I know to do, only way to do it. That's prayer. Prayer stops the leak. Prayer changes things. Thank God for that. Thank God. So I was reading, you know, the quote that kind of goes along with that out of the Era of God's Deliverance, and I won't go back to that. But I did have a scripture that I wanted to refer to as we're talking about keeping the leak out, keeping the things of the world out. We just want to be so committed to God. And just whatever His will is, whatever His purpose is, that's what we want to do. That's all that matters. They used to sing a song, only what you do for Christ will last. Amen. Only what you do for Him will be counted in the end. So only what you do for Christ will last. I want to go and look at a scripture in Colossians 3. And I just had just a couple verses, but as I started reading it, I just felt, you know what? I'm not going to skip this. Let's just read the Bible. Let's read the Bible. Amen. Praise God. We're talking about keeping the world out. It's not just, you know, Brother Jack's thoughts, right? Or just Brother Brandon's thoughts. But as Christians, there's a certain life that we're supposed to live. Amen. As believers, there's a certain life that we're supposed to live. We're different from the world. Amen. We dress different from the world. We talk different from the world. We act different from the world. I remember, you know, my job, my previous job that I had, a guy was, he had come to me and he says, Jack, I got bad news. They're not going to be able to do this, that, and the other. They can't get it done. And, you know, the vendor said it's not going to, you know, they're not going to be able to make that happen. And we had a deadline that we had to meet. And I'm like, I could not take no for an answer. So, you know, I said, get him on the line. I'm going to come and I'm going to talk with you to them. And so he got him on the line. And you know, you have to do things a certain way. You know, I was, my title was the something manager. Infrastructure manager. Thank you. They have to give you big titles, you know, and then sometimes you have to use your title. You don't use your name, you use your title. And you tell them I'm the infrastructure manager, you know. And so as they introduced me, I came on the line and I began to talk, you know, say things. And before you know it, at the end of the conversation, they said, okay, sir, we'll have it ready by such and such a time. So the guy looked at me and he hung up. He says, now, I've never seen it done that way. Typically, when my boss gets involved, he just starts cursing and yelling and screaming and doing all this. Well, I'm not that kind of boss. Mm-hmm. I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. I don't have to curse to get my point across.
Amen.
I gotta use language like that. As a Christian, I don't have to. I gotta do that. I mean, oftentimes, I feel people that use language like that, they just don't have a good vocabulary.
Right.
And that's all they can think of. And they think if I use this word like it, it's going to get you moving. No, that just offends me. Right? So that's not going to get me moving, you know, when you're doing that. But as Christians, we don't even think to do that. We don't act like other people. We carry ourselves different,
amen.
You know. So, and that's in everything we do. Dressing, we carry ourselves different. Just everyday living, we're different. We're supposed to be that way. We're supposed to be an example to the world that this is what Christ does in your life. Let's look at this. Colossians 3. And the title of this chapter, just a heading in my Bible, they call it The New Life in Christ. The New Life in Christ. Now look at this. If ye then be risen with Christ. Now that's if. Paul starts, if you're risen with Christ. All right, you say you're saved, you're Christian. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. All right? I can't even read. I'm trying to read.
But just if you're a Christian, you're supposed to think about the things of God. Mm-hmm. Right? Your heart's supposed to be on the things of God. Look at this. It goes on and says, set your affection mm-hmm. on things above.
Yes, yes.
Not on things on the earth.
Right?
So I'm just reading scripture. This is just basic Bible teaching. And this is what Paul writes to us that as believers. So affection should be on the things above, not on things on the earth. Mm-hmm. Not here. Mm-hmm. That's not where affections lie. Look at this. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I love these words that Paul writes. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now this next verse says, mortify. Now what that actually means is put to death. Mm-hmm. Mortify. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness. Now that now, ain't this something Paul say mortify? That means you got to kill it. You know, God, until you take this from me, God, I'm going to just, no. You kill it. Mm-hmm. You lay aside every sin and every weight that so easily besets you. Right? Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And I'm going to just tell you an easy way to kill stuff like this. I'm going to tell you an easy way to do it. And it's the most powerful weapon you've got at your disposal. Use the word of God. Mm-hmm. To mortify things. The word of God will kill it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But you got to use it. I mean, every time the devil come with you or something, you got to have a scripture to come back to him with, because that's what Jesus did when he was on the earth. He never used any supernatural power. He defeated the devil with "it is written."
Yes.
That's right.
And he's given us that example, so that's the same way we have to defeat the devil with "it is written."
Yeah.
But you got to know what's written.
Right.
If you ain't read it, you don't know what's written. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes the devil know when you quote the scripture just because you're going to hurt it in church.
Right.
You're going to hurt somebody else say it, so now you just quote it. And well, that's, you know, no. You need to go find where it's written.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then let it become part of you.
Amen.
Amen.
Right? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. It says, for mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Right? For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. The wrath of God will come on the children of disobedience. And the which ye also walked some time. Now, there's that shows that there should have been a change. Mm-hmm. Y'all read the same thing I read?
Mm-hmm.
In the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. That means you used to live that way. Mm-hmm. But you shouldn't be living that way anymore. Right? If you've been risen, amen, with Christ, you shouldn't be living that way anymore.
Amen.
Praise God. It's just simple holiness teaching.
Amen.
But we need it. We need it. We sure need it. It says, but now ye also put off all these. Mm-hmm. And here's another one. You got to put it off.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get rid of it. Put off all these. Anger. Wrath. Malice, blasphemy, and here's another one. Oh Lord, I'm gonna dwell on that just a little bit. Filthy communication out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as believers, you can't laugh at every joke,
right.
And you also can't tell every joke.
Mm-hmm.
All right, because as a believer, the scripture tells us. Amen, that we're supposed to put off filthy communication out of our mouth. Amen. A brother can't sit around the water cooler and listen to guys talk about ladies in an ungodly way. And a woman can't sit around the water cooler and listen to women talk about men in an ungodly way. That is filthy communication. You have to avoid stuff like that. Amen, church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is just Bible, right? I mean, we as believers, this is the way we're supposed to walk before God. Amen. Don't listen to every joke. And, you know, sometimes you'll get somebody gonna slip one in on you. And I mean, you're just going on, then all they drop one on you. Oh, I wasn't expecting that. And you got to have something like just take that smile that you had and just get real serious. So they know that, I don't agree with that. I don't, please don't tell a joke like that to me again.
Right.
Make them feel uncomfortable.
Right.
That's right.
Make them feel uncomfortable.
Right.
But here the Bible is telling us put off these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Why would Paul have to write something like this in the Bible? The reason he has to write is because people do it. Lie not. Saints will lie. Saints will lie. And not even go back and get that thing straightened out. Brother Westfield told a story one time, his brother, thank God the brother been delivered since that time, but you know, he at the time he had a drug problem. He was going to church but had a drug problem. And he said something about not having his rent money and, you know, couldn't do this and couldn't do that. So Brother Westfield like, okay, brother, all right. Brother Westfield took off going down the street and pulled the street and said, he lied. Go back and tell him he is lying. Brother Westfield turned the car around and said, brother, Holy Ghost told me to tell you, you lied. Brother didn't know what to do. You just lied, brother. You lied to the Holy Ghost. You know in the New Testament, folk that lied to the Holy Ghost, you know what happened to them?
Mm-hmm.
They died in the house of God.
Right.
Died in the house of God. I mean, you know, the husband and wife that come in and presented that lie to Peter, Peter like, you know, didn't y'all know y'all was talking to the Holy Ghost? Y'all thought y'all was talking to a man, but you just lied to the Holy Ghost. Say, look, you know the guys that just buried your husband, she had no idea her husband was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even know the name of Barry. She never even went to her husband's funeral. Can you imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of that lie quick.
Oh, yeah.
Took him out of the church, dug 6 feet, dumped him in. His wife was still at the house. And then she come to church and, we sold it for this much and we did that. I said, now, why y'all tempt the Holy Ghost like this?
Right.
Why y'all come here and lie? He said, you know what, the same guys that just buried your husband are ready to take you out right now. Drop dead just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can imagine some of the saints say, are you going to pray for him? Pray for what? They bold enough to come to church with a lie like that. And they bold enough to take the consequences that come with it.
Amen.
Right. But I mean, you know, it's just, here the scripture tells us, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. So your old man used to lie, but your new man that's been risen in Christ, he don't do that no more.
Amen.
Amen. Let's keep reading the Bible. Let's just keep reading the Bible. Here he says, verse 10, have put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And I was just reading little notes here in my Bible. It says the new man is the person one becomes after the conversion. So we talk about the new man is the person that you become after you've been converted. You possess a new nature. You possess new values. You possess new aspirations. You possess a new lifestyle. This man is constantly being renewed or developed until he attains the mature knowledge of God who created him. I love that. You possess new values, new nature, new aspirations, new lifestyle. The new man, all things become new when you really come into Christ. All things become new. Amen. You know, your friends will change when you walk in with Jesus. Your friends will change. And it's not because you push them to the side. They actually see too much light in your life. And light can fellowship with darkness.
Amen.
Every time light comes into the room, darkness flees.
Amen.
If you got friends that still like hanging around you and you're a Christian, they not, you have to question whether your Christianity is really having an impact on them.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I guarantee if you told them, no, I can't go there, I'm going to the prayer meeting tonight. No, I can't do that because I got church the next night. No, I can't. I mean, if you start giving them things like that, I guarantee they'll stop calling you and inviting you anyway.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But when you have to tell them, well, I watched the recording. I can go, I'll watch the recording. When you have compromises like that, it's very hard for people to see a new man or a new woman. Praise God. Let's keep going. All right? Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, humbleness of mind. Don't ever think of yourself being bigger than you are. Don't do that. It's not all about us. It's all about Him. It's never about us, right? And oftentimes, God will put us in positions to make sure we remain humble, right? But there's a balance there because, like I said, I think last week and the week before, sometimes people say things like, well, you know, I don't really want to get up in public like that and do all these things. I don't want to do that. I'm just keep trying to be humble. But no, there's a you know, if we have a need, step up and feel the need.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I think there's a way that you do that. Because there are some people, you know, that you already know they're not humble. They always looking for an opportunity to get in front of everybody. Mm-hmm. Always. And that's the wrong type of spirit. I remember Brother Smiley, he actually told me, but you know, he used to travel sometimes, he preached with certain brothers, and those brothers would always put him at a particular service where they knew nobody was coming to church. And they always want to take the services where everybody was coming to church. Don't do things like that. Recently, I had an experience where I was told that I was going to minister at a certain service. I was preparing for that. And then just a couple days before they changed, they say, okay, we want you to go to a different service and preach there. And the first sermon that I heard was talking about just be subject, be humble, be submissive. Don't get yourself too high in life thinking, well, you know, it's all about you. It's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get no attitude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because something changed.
Mm-hmm.
You just fit in where and submit yourself to the pastor, what he wants to do.
Right.
It's not about you.
Right.
Now, I gave you a sermon, just preach the sermon, but preach it here.
Yes.
Don't worry about these other. I mean, you have to learn. God always keeps you humble.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Let's keep reading. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy blood, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Is that word again? Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Put on charity, love. Put on, that's the bond of perfectness. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. I just love this. Find something you can just thank God for.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, we complain too much.
Yeah.
And really what we need to learn how to do is just be grateful.
Yes, Lord.
Be grateful. Right? Find something that you can be thankful for. God, I thank you for my car.
Yes, yes.
I thank you for my house. I thank you for my bed. I thank you for AC.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. Right? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So this is how we encourage one another. Right? Spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. your special is not for the people in the audience. I like, when I go to churches sometimes, I've been oftentimes, you know, it's not that I go anywhere to get the mic. That's not my plan. I'm just going to church. But if I'm asked to do something, I want to be willing and ready. You know, I keep in my Bible just a list of songs. I keep it in my Bible. I say, because if I ever call, I just want to be ready to do whatever the Lord calls me to do. But I never go to a church just like, okay, well, I'm here. Y'all gonna call me. I never approach service that way. I just, whatever the Lord want me to do, I'll do it. I'm going to tell you right now, if I can play, I'd be ready to play. Whatever God wants me to do, I'll do it. They want me to preach, I'm going to preach. I just want to give everything I got to the Lord.
Amen.
Right? But you know, the thing of it is that when I love to make this statement oftentimes when I sing, you know, I want you to understand that when we're singing, you're not the audience. You're not the audience. But we're all here in the audience of one. And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the artist, so I want to do something to please him. I'm not here to please the others, but I am there to please him.
Amen.
And oftentimes you'll see that I, even all these years that I've stood before people and sung and all that, you'll see a lot of times I sing, I always close my eyes. Because I'm not thinking about the people. I'm thinking about what my God has done for me.
Amen.
And the song means that much to me. Not just words, but it's a testimony.
Yes.
And this is what Paul tells us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now I was going to stop there, but I'm going to keep reading. Is that all right?
Amen.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Amen. This is what the Bible says. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. If he asks you to do something that's ungodly, you don't have to submit to that. But when it comes to the things of God, the wife is supposed to submit herself to her husband as it is fit in the Lord. Here's another one. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. They're just basic Christian principles. Be not bitter against them. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a bad thing when a man is always trying to win the argument with his wife. It's a bad thing. That just leads to a really, really, really bad environment. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. Here's another one. Children, obey your parents in some things. In most things. Oh, we got to follow the scripture. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Here's another one. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. You got to watch what you say, Daddy, because you don't realize you can discourage your own child. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service. Because people do that. People do things just to see if somebody else was watching. Oh, Lord. See, you can't do it because somebody else is watching. You got to do it because he's watching. You all, Brother Randall told the story. I'm coming on. I got a quote to read, and I knew that this was going to take me a little time, but that's fine. But he told a story of this musician. I believe he was a great piano player, and he went to had a concert, and when he played the house down, people were
on their feet, just giving them, you know, all kind of, you know, just praise, just, you know, clapping their hands and all this. Just, man, we really enjoyed that. But the guy never really made any motion, you know, towards what the crowd was doing. It just never really moved him. And he looked up way in the balcony. Of all these people, looked up in the balcony and said he was watching how his teacher, his master teacher, was responding to what he just done. Mm-hmm. And if that master teacher kind of gave him a thumbs up, then he knew, okay, I did all right. Mm-hmm. He didn't worry about what everybody else was saying. And I want you to understand, we got a master teacher.
Yes.
His name is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And all we want to do is make sure that he is pleased.
Right.
With whatever we do, is God pleased.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Is God pleased?
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Is God pleased? That's what matters most. I can tell you right now, you will never be able to please man. Don't do it. Don't try to please man. You can't do it.
Amen.
Please God.
Amen.
It's not with eye service as men pleasers. The Bible says, servants obeying all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, oh, that's a good one right there. Whatever you do, do it heartily. That means doing it wholeheartedly, the best job you can do with all your strength. Whatsoever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward. And I told y'all, I think last week they had this saying that payday is coming after a while. So knowing that that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, but he served the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect for persons. Again, this scripture that kind of supports where we should be as believers. And basic things, but we don't want to forget the basics. Let's go back here to this slide. I have a quote out of the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed, that I'd like to read. And again, remember, our thought tonight is Ephesians 4 and 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep, bend over backwards to keep the unity of spirit and body in a bond of peace. Here in this son of Christ, the mystery of God revealed, the prophet says, Brother Neville goes through many strains and heartaches. He doesn't show it here at the tabernacle, but being that the Lord lets me have a little sight into people's life, I know what he goes through, a whole lot of it. And he certainly goes under a lot of labor and strains and things. And the people here hold him up like Joshua and Caleb held up the hands of Moses as he's bringing the word. Love one another above everything. Love one another. No matter what the devil tries to say, now you're all one great big sweet group now, but remember my warning. So Satan won't let that stay that way. My God, if we can just get this, this is a powerful quote that that we kind of like need to kind of keep it on replay. You got to always watch for the devil. You can have something real good going on, but Satan will kind of come in and try to do something. And you got to be watching for that. If you're not watching for that, you get swept up in it. But we're trying to endeavor to keep the unity, right? We're not trying to pull against one another. We're endeavoring to keep unity. Amen. You have to fight to keep unity. Look at this now. He says, Satan won't let that stay that way. No, sir. He'll shoot everything if he has to bring somebody in to make his target. Satan will let somebody come to church so he can use them as a target.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Let's keep reading. This is what the prophet said. It says he'll shoot everything if he has to bring somebody in to make his target. He'll bring some critic, an unbeliever in, sit him down, and cause him to fellowship with you under the quietness of things. Then he'll shoot that guy with some kind of poison stuff, and he'll start through the church with him. Right? He starts with that poison stuff, and he goes through the church. And typically, it's always an attack on the leader. The poison, it's always an attack on the leader. And that's why you got to be so careful, you know, with that. Let's just keep reading here. It says, he'll start through the church with it. Don't you take sides with it. Oh, the prophet has given us a warning. Don't you take sides with it. Not only that, don't you have nothing to do with anything else. You stay right, loving, and sweet, and kind to one another. Pray for that man that he'll be saved to. Brother Graham said he's not even a Christian. When you start doing stuff like that, sisters start doing that, they're not even a Christian. Pray that God will save them. Amen. Pray for that man, he'll be saved to, or that woman, or whoever who it is. Now, just understand, now Christians can get spirits on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Christians can get spirits. So that's why you got to recognize, is that from God or is that from the devil? The scripture again tells us, endeavor, bend over backwards to keep the unity of the spirit. Do everything you can to keep the unity of the spirit. Amen. Look, he goes on to say this, don't you have nothing to do with anything else? You stay right, loving, sweet, kind, one another. Pray for that man that he'll be saved to, or that woman, or whoever it is. Pray for them, and stick one with another, and stay with your pastor. Oh, Lord Jesus. Pray for them, and stick one with another, and stay with your pastor. See, he's a shepherd, and you give him respects. He'll lead you through, because he's ordained of God to do so. I tell you the truth, Oh, God is good. The prophet certainly gives us a warning here. He certainly gives us a warning. You know, throughout this whole season of COVID, this has not been easy leading the church, you know, through something like this. It's not easy. I've never seen that like this before. I've seen COVID. We have, even in our nation, I can't say we have the best leaders, you know, to lead through a pandemic like this, or some call it a plandemic. I call it a pandemic, because that's what Brother Bradley called it. But when you're going through something like that, everybody's going to have their opinions, everybody's going to have their thoughts, everybody's going to have their ideas, but ultimately, you know, a lot of the responsibility will fall on my shoulders. And I have to just try to just let the Lord lead me. You know, I sit down and talk with different ones and, you know, just have conversations here, just trying to get as much information as possible as we navigate through it. Mm-hmm. And by the grace of God, it's nothing I did, nothing Brother Troy did, nothing that none of us did. It was the grace of God that kind of helped us get through this. But I just watched how, you know, I was even in church, you know, and I watched somebody just take on the spirit one day. Because, you know, we were not really shaking hands with one another. We, you know, people afraid. You might have a germ. I might have, everybody was, so we just doing fist bumps, you know. And I remember I told somebody in church, I told the church that day, because everybody not on the same level.
That's right.
And you know what the Bible say? The Bible say let the strong bear the infirmities of the weak, not separate from them. That's not what the Bible say. The Bible say let the strong, if you're strong in faith, you're supposed to be able to bear the infirmities of the weak. Right? So I just kind of watched that one. I told somebody, everybody just turn around and just fist bump somebody. God bless you. But I encouraged, I just did that. Just to try to have a little, what you call it?
Fellowship.
Fellowship.
Yeah,
we gotta touch each other sometimes. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we're just a body. So just, you know, give them a fist bump. I saw somebody that they rolled their eyes at me. And refused a fist bump, but we're gonna shake everybody's hand. Mm-hmm. That's disobedience.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's as the sin of witchcraft.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Right? I mean, you know, we gotta watch spirits.
Right.
And that's why the prophet said, just stay with your pastor. Don't, you know, everybody not called to the role of pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. So this is, I'm just reading this warning that the prophet has given us, you know, and like I say, I don't take no credit. I don't think I can. Brother Troy can't. You know, we talked and we did a lot of talking about different things, but God helped us through this time.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are with a second wave of this thing, but God is still helping us.
Amen.
It's
Amen.
God that's doing it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. The prophet says this. Pray for them to stick one with another. Stay with your pastor. See, he's a shepherd. You give him respects. He'll lead you through because he's ordained of God to do so. Now, do you remember that? The enemy will come when it does just cling that much closer together. And the one the devil is using for the enemy will either get out or come in and be one of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Don't never clan among one or talk, make yourself clannish. We are one.
Amen.
I couldn't say left hand, I'm mad at you. I'm going to take you away because you're not a right hand. He's my left hand. I want him to stay there. Even the little tip of my finger, I want him to stay right there. Every little part of my body stay right there. And God wants us as a body believers to stay right exactly with one another. Right with one another. Now you've got tapes on that. You got tapes on what we believe. You got tapes on discipline in the church. How we behave ourselves in the church of God. How we got to come here together and sit together in heavenly places. Don't stay home. A couple things I want to just reiterate there. Brother Ramsey, we got tapes on church order and how we're supposed to behave ourselves. And we all would notice oftentimes when Brother Troy, especially our meetings or even sometimes when he speaks, God would give him sermons to help us maintain the governance in the church. And as a deacon, that's the anointing that's supposed to rest on him. Right? So Brother Bradham, you know, said that we got things like this and we need that in order to keep the church moving the way it's supposed to be moving. I thank God for this. I thank God.
Amen.
Look, he says this. You got tapes on discipline in church, how we behave ourselves in the church of God, how we got to come here together and sit together in heavenly places. Now, he said we got to come. We got to come here together and sit together in heavenly places. He said, don't stay home. Now, I guess some of us might say, well, that was before COVID. No, God said these things before COVID so that we would know how to govern ourselves when COVID got here. Don't stay home. If God is in your heart, you can't hardly wait for them doors to open out yonder to get in here to fellowship with your brothers. If you don't feel that way, can I read it for you? If you don't feel that way, I mean, you got to have that kind of feeling. If you ain't got that kind of feeling, something wrong. If you don't feel that way, then I tell you, it's time you got to pray it. Because we're in the last days where the Bible exalted us or exhorted us to much more as we see the day approaching, to love one another with Christian love and divine love, to assemble ourselves together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and love one another. This will all men know you're my disciples when you have love one for the other. That's right. Stay right together. goes on to say this. If the brother you think he's a little wrong, or the sister, say, Lord, don't let me ever have the root of bitterness spring up, because it will affect him. So that means don't, just because you see him wrong, don't get to get the spirit on you. Just pray. Right? Just pray. But he always do it. Now just pray. Amen. Says, don't let me have the root of bitterness spring up, because it will affect him, and it will take the Christ right out of my life. Lord, that poison acids of malice and jealousy and hatred. Can I just share a statement with y'all? I'm just giving y'all some insight. If a person is always saying somebody else is jealous of them, they're the ones with the jealousy.
Amen.
I'm gonna say it again. If you hear a person always saying this person jealousy, and this person jealousy, and this person jealousy, they are the ones with the jealous spirit.
Yes.
Amen. The other person don't think like that about it. So just watch that. Just realize that's poison that's trying to get in amongst the believers, and you got to keep that poison out. Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh my. Lord Jesus. Even, you know, we're all gifted different ways. I was telling a sister one time that she didn't really want to sing, because Sister Tina came up and sung, and sung the house down. The other sister said, I don't want to get up there behind Sister Tina. God didn't ask you to be Sister Tina.
Right.
We got one Sister Tina. And that's, you know, thank God for that. Yeah. But you be you, and God will use you. But it's not a competition.
Yeah.
It's just an anointing that destroys yokes. So your song may go a little different than Sister Tina, because like I said, Sister Tina got that, you know, it's gonna be, she can do that fast stuff and, you know, get your hand clapping. I mean, she can put in all the words. Everybody can't do that. Don't try. Find what you do and just do it well. But don't make it a competition. That's not what this is all about. Right? This is about just, you know, God, whatever my portion is, I want to offer that to you.
Right.
And I want to use it for your glory. Amen. Amen. That's why you look in a choir. You got pretty much three voice parts. You got the tenor, and you got the altos, you got the sopranos. And you know, you can go to just about anywhere, you know, just a meeting. We have a meeting, and the song leader up there conducting and say, I want the sopranos to sing. And you know what? You start hearing all the sopranos. They got that voice that's up there, that pitch that's way up there, right? And if you're not soprano, it's okay to wait for your part. Right? If you strain it to try to get up here, you're not soprano. You got in falsetto trying to get there, you're not soprano. You alto. It's the truth. And now there's some sisters that's altos, and they can't even get there. So you know what they become? Tenors. But I know some sisters that can hold down the tenor notes, strong tenors. But sometimes, you know, sisters can get a spirit on them because I don't want to be no tenor. That's for the brothers. I don't want to be no tenor. You got brothers that think they surprise you. You just got to find our place in the body and stick with it. I'll tell you, the song sounds so much better when everybody finds their parts. I want somebody to say, man, church. The song sounds so much better when everybody finds their part. You know, the church operates so much better when everybody finds their part. The body operates so much better when the body finds its place. some essence of malice and jealousy and hatred that would just take the Holy Spirit right away from you. It will run him from the tabernacle here. It'll kill the Spirit of God and run away from here. Hurt your pastor. It'll do everything. See, don't do that. You just wax that much closer together. Take the buckle, as the brother testified, a minister here the other night about having a buckle. Seeing it in a vision. That buckle's on the whole armor of God. Just pull it on. Tighten up. Move right up close to one another. Love one another anyhow. Talk nice about one another. Say nice things about one another. The prophet tells us, then God will bless you. So important for us to do this. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for the word today. Encouraged by your prophet, encouraged by Paul. And Lord, let us do an evaluation of just ourselves, God, as to where we are with these things. Don't let it just be another quote or just another scripture, God, but may it become part of our life, part of our daily walk with you. We have a responsibility. We have a commission. And God, we want to do all we can to fulfill that commission. I believe the Holy Spirit, Lord, allows us to go through this particular chapter at this particular time. You know exactly why we did it. Let us not only be hearers of the word of God, but let us become doers. Help us to recognize the enemy and all of his tricks. And to respond, Lord, the way the prophet has told us to respond. We'll be blessed when we do that. So I thank you, God, for this time that you've given us, Lord, just a time to reflect on the word of God. Just appreciate it. And God, from me to everyone in here, God, we want to apply it. We really, really want to apply it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll give you just a couple of announcements. Don't forget this weekend. This weekend, Brother Diggs will be coming Saturday night, 7 p.m. Sunday at 10:30. I was talking to Brother Smiley a little earlier, and he went to preach with Brother Remy on last Sunday, and so he got to preaching, and I guess he did part one of the sermon. They said, "You got to come back. You got to come back and finish it next week." He said, "No, I can't finish it next week. We got Brother Diggs coming to be with us." So they said, "Well, okay, because things come, I think we can try to make it." So I'm just letting y'all know. Yes. And we'll figure out something. So I'm gonna ask y'all to do this. We're trying to navigate this all new. It's all new. And so if the Brother Troy or Brother Stephen or any brothers have y'all kind of move or sit in some a little different spot, then please just try to do that. We may have to use that area there in the back, that platform, but I need to say this. We try to use that for people that don't move too much in service. The reason being, because it makes a lot of noise when you start moving. It's very distracting. Mm-hmm. So we need people that can be like camels. So just keep that in mind. But let's just be quick to whatever the brothers need. Let's just try to do that. Don't forget Sunday morning prayer service 9:10, and then our regular service 10:30 again.
And we're just looking forward to what God got in store, amen, for us. And we'll continue to stream through Facebook and through Twitter. And our giving, it's the same. If you want to give online, you use Cash App or PayPal. If you're using PayPal, make sure you choose the option to transfer to a friend or family member and use the email address of giving at john423.org. If you want to use Cash App, then our handle is Spirit and Truth, dollar sign Spirit and Truth T. And if you want to just mail something into the church, we certainly appreciate that. You can use the address of the screen there. We greatly appreciate it. I did also just want to say it's good to have Quentin Julian with us, amen, tonight. So this prayer request, Sister Janine said, my car broke down. They said it needs a new engine. We're asking God to bless us with a new car. I can't remember the exact service, but I remember we were at the church here, other church that we were at. And after one of the services, Xander walked up to me. And he says, would you pray with me? I want God to bless my mama with a new car. And so I just stopped right there and we touched and agreed. And we prayed all beyond the car. So I believe it's already done. Amen. She was here for many of them for many years. And Lord, now we just ask that you would just be strength to this family, that you would undergird them. There is no one that can ever take her place in their life. So we pray that you would just intervene, turn them warm into dancing. God, that you would give them strength and all the plans that need to come together now for her homeborn service. God, we just pray that you work it all out. Sister Mary had another request for it that she made known to me. I lift that up to you, Father, right now. That there's some things that need to work out, and just pray that you just intervene, just do the miraculous for them, God. Provide in the only way that you can. And Father, we pray over our offering tonight that you would bless it and use it for the further speaking of here on earth. Pray on the meetings that we're about to have here this weekend, God, move in a very, very special way. I thank you that we can even come to this place and host a meeting. I appreciate, God, that this school is open to allow us to be able to do these things. So I bless those that would just be even a part of all of that. We trust, God, that you can use Brother Diggs for your glory and for your honor. Every saint that would come through the door, God, just speak to them. Be glorified and magnified and exalted in this place. We trust, oh God, that you would keep us all until we're able to return back here again for the weekend. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you to those that have joined us online as well. God bless you. We'll be back at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock is when the service will start. I would advise you. 7 o'clock on Saturday night, we'll be here. But I would advise you, come early, get your seat. Amen. Just in case we do have some guests. Somebody else was looking at one of our videos and said, man, I just noticed there's so much light. You know, y'all got y'all new church? I said, not yet. But this is where we're meeting at. One sister texted me the other day and said, I went to the church, and I just said, it didn't look like y'all. It didn't look like where y'all at. So this the new address is RCS. So people are starting to get word, and amen, we understand that. But key things in prayer. Just a quick update, we are working with a lender, amen, that has kind of already somewhat pre-approved us for a loan. And so we're waiting on paperwork. They're waiting on paperwork from us. We've been sending them everything they asked for. And they're trying to get a letter together for us. And once we have the letter together, we are going to take that letter with another letter and submit it to a church and just see what they say. So keep it before the Lord. The church is not even for sale, but we just ask them what they think about it. I went to get in my car yesterday. I was going to pick up lunch. You know, a guy stood out. He saw me on the phone. Jumped out his truck. And I'm like, what this guy doing this? Jumping out of the truck. You can't be rolling up on nobody like that. So he jumped out of his truck. And I'm on the phone like, he just sat there waiting. When I said bye, he said, sir, I work for such and such company, and we want to buy your truck. And I didn't even think about selling my truck. We want to buy your truck. Now, when somebody approach you like that, you say, well, how about you?